Wednesday afternoon, Shar Yichud HaMaisa, Ladies Shir, Tes Zayin Sivan. We'll be starting in a few seconds. Tes Zayin Sivan, Wednesday, Ladies Shir, Shar Yichud HaMaisa. Okay. Shar Yichud HaMaisa, Perek Hey, Chovos Halvavos, and we're learning about the Yetzer Hara. And the Chovos Halvavos is now going through a long, long list in this Perek. We read basically the Hakdama, which scared us and then gave us Chizuk. And now he's starting, he's giving the various things that the Yetzer Hara works on. And remember, and he uses a very interesting phrase, as he introduces each paragraph, he uses the word l'sapek oscha, to make you doubt. And if you remember, that itself was one of the tricks, that he doesn't feel he has to, you don't have to be sure the other way, he just has to be matil Suffolk. He just has to make you doubt what you think you know for sure, and he tries to get you to say, well, maybe it's not like that, how do I know, but maybe it's different, and who said, maybe, and once that's called already a foot in the door, we should use it for the good. We talked about this in the past weeks. And we should make sure that we have clarity in what we believe and what we know. But, you know, just to say, but maybe not, is not a kasha. But it could be a spur to us to make sure that we know what we know. And how do we know it? Indeed, to get clarity. And if you don't have clarity, so go get clarity. Torah is very clear. It's been around a long time and has survived, Baruch Hashem, a long time. And all kinds of theologies and movements, and we're here, so we don't have to run away. There's no need to run away from anything. Okay, we'll go back to the first thing. Utchilas mashi yasapik oscha bo hayetzer. We learned this one last week. I want to add a few points. The first thing, not the first, there's no particular order, the most major. Because he goes from major, well, they're all major. He goes from major, no subtlety at all, to, and at the end, it'll take us for sure like a few months to go through all of these things, if I do a good job. And then the last, you know, it gets more and more and more subtle, more and more and more dak. So the first, what? No, the point, what you're doing wrong, the way, what he's trying to get you to do, that will only be the first step, and then already he has you in his clutches. As I said very quickly as an example, the very, very last thing is that you're a tzaddik and you're doing everything great, then you're passing all your nisyonos, and you're not even a bal gaiva. No, gaiva. Gaiva was before that. You think you're on a higher madrega than other people. And that doesn't have to be, that's not necessarily gaiva. You could say you're making an objective, you know, honest assessment. But we can't even do that, the Chavis Aldova says, because you don't know, as long as you don't know what the other person's nisyonos are, and you don't know what their life has been, and you don't know what they struggle with, and as I said in shul a few Shabbosim ago, you know, maybe to you various things are easy and second nature or easy, or just it's part of your nature. You're by nature. Someone came over to me. If by nature they're easygoing, so they're not. They don't really work on bitachol. They just like they're easygoing. You know, whatever will be, and I'll handle it. And then, as I said, you know, that's a wonderful madrega. You have to connect it to Hashem. But indeed, there's no omol involved. So it's not a question of gaiva, but we can't even make an objective assessment, because for that person, getting out of bed and, you know, maybe thinking Moda Ani for a half a second might have entailed more Bechira than you're shuckling, davening for an hour and a half. Maybe, we don't know. Only Hashem knows these things. And that's why it's called the Yetzer Hara, to be sure. Now, it doesn't mean that that person's lifestyle with orange spiked hair and a ring in the navel and whatever else they do is as equally valid as your lifestyle. That's not what it means. We know it's bad and it's not good and it's Yetzer Hara and it's not what Hashem wants, and it's, we know the Torah says what's good and what's bad. Not the issue. The issue is the person, not the deeds. The issue is that, how does Hashem look at that person? Right? That person might, his Nekudas HaBechira, if we borrow the phrase in the Michtam Elio, might be in a place, and you know, it might have been, you know, you might end up with his Averis, or her Averis, if you didn't educate them, and they didn't know, so you have to teach them. So the whole thing might end up being your fault. Anyway, that's the most subtle. We'll get to there at the end. So now he has the least subtle, and we expressed, like, I never failed to be amazed at this point, that before he says the obvious, that there's no Borei Olam, was that there's no, the Borei Olam is not Kadmon, was that there's two Borei Olams, which we'll get to. He says that there's nothing, that this is it. What you see is what you get. This is existence and there is nothing else. Our actions are not transcendent. Our actions only mean what they mean. And now if you look at his Lashon carefully, if you don't want to, you'll take my word for it. If you look at his words, he's even granting you the existence of a neshama. His wording is that when your guf dies, so your neshama ceases to exist as well. That's his lashon. He says, "Utchilas mashi yisapek os chabo." Again, he makes a suffix. Hayetzer v'yishtadel, and he will try. Levorer also etzlachahu. He will try to make you convinced. Right? He starts off with the seeds of doubt, and he wants to then. He has his tricks of how to get you to be convinced of it after a while, because you want to justify yourself and so on and so forth. Hu shenafshecha, that your soul ain lo kiyum mibilti haguf. You might have a soul. You may even be able to justify, maybe, you know, that theoretically you have to be a good person and your soul is... there's something spiritual, but ultimately there's no kiyum. Nothing means anything. It's gone. So if it's gone, then ultimately it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter, even if it has some meaning to say you're a good person. He'll grant you the existence of a soul, and you don't want your soul to be. And even if he'll grant you that the soul gets dirtied and sullied and impure if you are involved in certain things. But so what? So what? When it's over, it's over. It doesn't matter. There's nothing beyond the existence we have. And so that's the first thing. And maybe death is the end. Maybe. Because remember, it's not as hard as you might think. Because you have to be a mammon, and maybe he'll then say, and I'm bringing this up because that's the Chavis Halavos's way, you know, maybe you say, now wait a second, you know something, someone Yitzhar might send someone to say to you, he might send Rabbi Milinowitz to say to you, where does it say in the Torah that there's life after death? I don't know, I looked in the whole Bible, I even have my English translation. Doesn't say anywhere that there's life after death. Adarabba, it talks about this world. Doesn't talk about anything else. And so maybe. Yeah. Right? The problem is the problem is we are physical beings. We think we're very, intellectual, and we think, but whatever we can't see or feel or touch or even we can't even imagine it. We can't imagine spirituality. We can't imagine Olam Haba. The word nefesh is just a word. We don't have any visualization of a nefesh. So it's not as hard as you would think, because if it's not in the human experience, there's a danger. You have to really believe. You have to be a ma'amin. You could, Chavis HaVavis holds it's logical, and there are many svarim out there written. There's a sefer on Mishnayos Tiferes Yisrael. Let's say 200 years ago, he wrote a long essay at the end of the Mishnayos about proving that there's a soul that stays after death, and he proves it. He starts off with saying the psukim. He says a very good proof. Yeah, he's proving things from the psukim. He says, it says in Parshas Noach that if you commit suicide, Hashem's going to punish you. Now, you're dead already. So, what's Hashem going to do to you? So, al karchach, there's something after death. It says a pasuk in Noach, if you commit suicide, anochi edrosh me'imo. You're going to have to answer for it. So, you're dead already. What's Hashem going to do? He can't kill you anymore. So al karchach, there's something else. That's like his, and he goes through many psukim. The truth is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, if you ever hear of the parak called Chelek, which is called Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Olam Haba, the first two blot in Chelek talk about different proofs, either from psukim or from logic, from the world. One of the things he says, for example, that the Tiferes Yisrael in his essay, is that we see that even physical things cannot be destroyed. Matter can't be destroyed. It may change forms, but you can't destroy it. So kol shekein v'kol shekein v'kol shekein, spiritual will not be destroyed. If even the physical is not destroyed, the ruchni is certainly not destroyed. He says, but the problem is, we think there's a black hole at the, we're ma'aminim here, but again, he just has to plant a doubt. He says, I think, when the trees, we're used to it already, but when the trees blossom again, if someone wouldn't know, if someone were in a cave somewhere and came, Adam HaRishon, right? He sees the winter, and he says, the world's coming to an end. It's over. No, this tree's not going to grow any more apples. Look at it. It's dead. Look, it looks like a nuclear bomb. You ever see these movies? Kasashon with the nuclear bombs. Nuclear winter, it's called. There's nothing there. It's all shriveled up. And then you see it. So you see Tchias HaMesim. You see? So now when the Shomas are the same, then the truth is, and I said this in Shul this past week, Tchias HaMesim is one of the 13 principles of faith. Now, it's bothered me many years. Like, why? Even if I'll grant you that the soul goes to Gan Eden and there's Olam Haba, it's like, why is it important that the goof rise again? Well, like, let's cut that out. It might even, it could be true, but like, what, to be a principle of faith, it means that, technically it means if you don't believe it, you're not bikkuris. We don't like to use the word, but that's the right word. That's the word for someone that doesn't believe in each of the 13 things. That's normative Jewish philosophy. It might not have always have been normative Jewish philosophy. It might be just the Rambam Shita, but it's been accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. That's it, these 13. And one of them is Tchias HaMesim, but like, why? Like, big deal. So you see that it's important, and part of the way Hashem structured the world is indeed nothing gets destroyed, and the goof won't even get destroyed. I made it a little more, appropriate, because if the guf is the vehicle through which we do these things, so the guf, you're actually imbuing the guf with ruchnius when you do mitzvahs. So at the end, and the Rambam actually says at the end, his vision, his description of Olam Haba, la'ad ulanetzach nitzachim, that thing that's forever, is not just the neshama. It's some sort of spiritual guf. That's something like malachim. It's not just a pure neshama. There's some physicality attached to it that has been purified from all the chomer of chomer of physicality. It's been purified, whether it's been purified through our mitzvahs, whether it's been purified through Gehenna and through Yisurim. Yisurim is painful, not just to the person undergoing the Yisurim, but to people that love that person and that care about that person, whether it's illness or poverty or sorrows people have in their lives. And we say, Yisurim, and it hurts. But, part of the way we cope with it, part of the way we deal with it, part of the way it is by saying that this is not all there is. If this is all there is, like this first Yetzirah, the Yetzirah's first, in the order that the Chavis HaLavas goes, the first point of the Chavis HaLavas, I should say, in this first, Yisurim are terrible, and like, how can you cope without going crazy, right? When I think it was Lenin who said, religion is the opium of the masses. It is. I mean, it's not opium. It's not opium. It's true. It helps you cope. It helps you cope with avelus. It helps you cope with tragedy. It helps you cope with yisurim. So what helps you cope? What? That we believe that there's a world after this world, and the neshama will remain, and maybe even the guf will remain. That's like a tangent. That's not the Chavis HaLavas' point, that's tangential. I'm speaking out. Rather, even the guf will remain. But the point of the Chavis HaLavas is that the neshama will remain. There's a whole world. There's so much more than these 70, 80, 120 years. It's a joke. It's a drop in the bucket of existence. And it makes every day very special, because it's really scary if you think about it, and that's what we don't like to do. So we sort of push it out of our minds, that everything we do is determining our standing, our purification, our soul, everything we do. As we go through the day, everything we do is determining eternity for ourselves. It's not the question of today or this week or this month or my relationship with my neighbor, and you say, okay, gamze yavor. It's much more than that. It's much more sweeping. It's much more transcendent than that. It's so much dependent on how you react, on how we act, on what we respond, and what we do. And it's a way to cope with Yisurim, this first point, because whether you say, okay, it's a kapara for Averis, or you just say the soul has to undergo purification, everybody's soul has to undergo purification. And the Sforim say, maybe we don't know how, but Yisurim purify the soul. It creates more awareness. I'm already explaining how. It's not the time now to explain how. But Yisurim definitely, once you are convinced and you don't let the Yetzirah creep in, that there's so much more than what you see, so then it's a way to deal with Yisurim. And it's a way to deal with life, and it's everything. It's this idea that I'm determining the standing of my neshama. It's everything. Of course it's first. This is everything. That what I do is meaningful, and it matters what I do, and I'm working on myself, and I'm affecting the cosmos, and I'm right. If all there is here, everything's absurd. Okay.
What do you do if not yet observing people in your life say that's what they want you to believe?
Say what?
If they say to you, that's what they want you to believe. You just don't go there, you just don't get involved.
You say, you give them, you in your mind, what should flash in your head is a label called spokesman for the Yetzer Hara. They are giving voice to what the Chaim Salvavus is saying. If you want, you can learn the proofs. If there's doubt, then don't run away, don't suppress the doubt. That's not the Chaim Salvavus' way, for sure. Don't suppress the doubts. He is talking, he's not coming here to solve. He says in very short, at the end he says there are proofs. Let's finish. At the end he says there are proofs. The Kadmonim talk about proofs. It's in the Nevi'im. And there are proofs. I told you there's a long essay from the Tiferes Yisrael. And it's Beferish in the Pesukim. You know, so then you say, well, who wrote the Pesukim? So then you start that whole chain. So, you know, it's... This is why the Chaim Salvavus says one of the main weapons of the Yetzer Hara is to sow doubt, because you don't have to prove anything to sow doubt. You just have to say, but maybe the Torah is not from Hashem, right? And maybe what it says in the Nevi'im is not from Hashem, and then in the last century or two they got real smart and they said, you know, just because you're logical doesn't mean you're right. Right? Who says that the world or anything is rational? Maybe irrationality is rational, and rational is irrational. And how do you know? And everything is existential. And you know, if it feels good, do it. And you know, then you really can't prove anything anymore, right? Because maybe the whole world is mathematical, and the whole world is run rationally, and everything in the world is rational, and there are laws of nature, which means there's a system. And nothing is stam. Okay, so but there are arguments. So either you believe, you have a choice. Either believe, or you could. You either believe. That's one word to use. You can be convinced. That's another word to use. Where it's higher level than belief. But you don't go through all the philosophical proofs or even all the psukim, but you're just convinced. You're convinced because you look at, again, the greatest inspiration is Klal Yisrael. That we exist, and then the Nisim that allow for the continued existence of Klal Yisrael and the rebirth of Medina Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, and the rebirth of Torah and everything, the whole Golos. And that everything in the Torah came true, you know. So you could personally be convinced. Say, I'm not gonna start lecturing in discovery because I can't stand up in front of a class and convince someone else. But I'm convinced it's true. And the word convinced is a very important word, because even the Chaim Salvavus at the end of the I think either the Hakdama or Shar HaYichud says, listen. Nothing is mathematical. None of these proofs about the existence of Hashem. He's not even talking about the existence of the neshama after death. He's talking about of Hashem. He says nothing can be mathematically proven. Nothing is 2 + 2 = 5. Whoops, 4. Nothing is that, right? You know, you can just stand there and go, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe a million monkeys typing on a million typewriters will produce Shakespeare. Maybe. Maybe they will. So he says, ultimately, you're just going to be convinced. He says, I can't, and he's like Mr. Rational. He's Mr., you know, Seichel and Mr. Proof. He says, but I got to tell you something, he says. I can't prove it mathematically. The way I could prove to you that 2 + 2 = 4. Now, I don't know math. It could be that you can't even prove 2 + 2 = 4 anymore. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there in the world of math. There's something called irrational numbers. I know that. That was like the last thing I learned. Yeah. Of what?
Near-death experience.
What about them? If you believe it. You say, I want, you say, what were you smoking? Where can I buy some? you can believe, you can be convinced, and you can go into the proofs. I guess those are only three ways. A belief doesn't have to, belief could mean I'll be Masora. Belief is Masora. That's part of belief. You may feel that the Masora is proof, because there were, you know, 3 million people standing, and there was a revelation at Har Sinai, and there's nothing that could ever match that, and they saw with their eyes. You know, we talk about, we can't see spirituality, but there was one moment in history where 3 million people saw Hashem in whatever way they saw him, sensed Hashem with a clarity that the Torah calls it seeing and hearing. And that happened at one moment in history. And then everybody told their children, and there was never, ever, ever a break in the chain. You can call that belief, you can call that proof, you know, whatever works for you. It's a powerful thing, and it gets us over the hump of, but maybe not, you know. On the other hand, now there's people that say, even if you see something, I maybe we're just part of someone's dream. And in a sense, we really are part of Hashem's dream, really. So we really are part of the dream. When I was a kid, like, row, row, row your boat, life is but a dream. And like, I spent a year when I was a kid. Oh man. Maybe life is just a dream. Like, what am I doing? Help! so when am I going to wake up? What happens if that person wakes up? Like, I'm gone? I don't know. Why didn't I become a basket case? Because in those years, you didn't go and shrink. Your parents gave you a smack. I know I'm not supposed to say that. Don't hit your children. Okay. But in my generation, I got hit and smacked, and I won't say beaten, because that's the nakuda. You hit your child, you don't beat up your child, chas v'sholem. You're not beating your child, chas v'sholem. You hit, that's, but nowadays you don't hit anymore, fine. But I didn't have to go to a psychiatrist. It worked. I just got one smack, and bus rats too. My parents are European, you know, like I'm happy they didn't ship me off to some crazy house, you know, and just, I'd still be there worrying if life is a dream. Wait a second. And my sisters love the song because it's like a round song. Like, you know, you sing one part and the other person sings the other part. So they would sing it a whole day and I'm like, stop! What? Life is a dream? Oh no! Like, who's dreaming me? Like, what's... Stop! Okay. So, I don't know. There's optical illusions. So you say, well, what's seeing? You could touch something that's super duper freezing and you'll burn your hand, right? It'll burn. So, okay, so touching can be deceiving also. Something could feel, you know, nothing. You know, you could hear things. The senses are maybe not, they're not all they're touted to be. That's our, what do the Chazalovas call our senses? They're our sha'orim to the world. They're the gateways to the world, our senses. That's how we relate to the world. That's what we remember in Shar HaBechina. He goes through a person's body and he says, you know, there's five gates that a person relates to the world, and that's the five senses. He calls them the good, and then there's gatekeepers, and you got, yeah, and right, you can close your mouth, you can close your eyes, you can close your ears. Touching doesn't have a gatekeeper, and smelling doesn't, and everything is b'cheshbon. Okay, you convince, and then you can go with the proofs, and everything has an upside and a downside. Chaim HaLevavos is a big believer in proofs, in rational proofs. The downside is that what do you do if it doesn't work for you? And you're left with a question. So then you have a suffix. That's the danger in approaching something the Chaim HaLevavos way. I mean, the big machlokas. Where did I just see in what safer weight? Okay, the exact opposite of the Chayim Salvavus. In a different Rishon, he says, terrible to try to prove anything. You're walking down a dangerous, it's the Kuzari, but it's not, it's someone else. I don't remember now who, but the Kuzari talked to argue with Chayim Salvavus. This is a problem. So now, proofs have a danger, and belief has a danger. So that's life, and that's Bechira. And every person is given the tools to overcome whatever doubts plague them. And some people, different people are different. Some people will be of a more intellectual bent, and the Chayim Salvavus' way will appeal to them, and they'll pursue it, and to other people. Nowadays, it's a big mishmash. It's like there's no more kehilos, right? Everything's a big mishmash. You say minhagim, you have one minig and your neighbor has a different minig. We're living in a egalitarian, is that the right word? Society, everything is like one big bilbul, one big mishmash. Minhagim are like that, and psakim are like that. Different rabbanim specialize in different psakim. No more kehilos, you don't have a rav. I ask this rav, Hilchos Tayrus Mishpacha, and I go to that rav for Hilchos Shabbos, and I go to and medicine at the age of specialization. And everything's a billboard. You can say what you want, conservative Orthodox, conservative Judaism, reform Orthodox Judaism. Everything's it's a form of Judaism. It's a billboard. The kufos in history used to be much more rigid. We say rigid in the hindsight of history. Obviously, I assume there were individuals who were different. But you look back in history, and there were the kufos of the philosophers, and the kufos, and then there was what's his name, Meidem Apecha. I don't want to say the names because I don't really know what I'm talking about. But there was a Mapechin rational thought. And then when I was in Lakewood, there was a whole chabura of guys who would read Ayn Rand. And yeah, this is it. Except that she was an atheist. That's the irony. But we sort of overlooked that. It was from after the atheism, it appealed very much. It was very rational. And Aish is anti-chesed and atheistic with... But it's only because you know if you're an atheist, then it's taka irrational to do chesed. She's right. at least it's oiskahal. But the idea of no preconceived notions and the idea of not to curry favor with people, but to stand on your principles, these were things that there was a whole chabura in Lakewood that in that kufa that. Followed her, and because in these things it appealed very much to people. These things that I just mentioned now about being firm in principles and not swaying with the wind, if you know how it works, and being oiskehalten and being rational, and there's no contradictions in nature, and if something's a contradiction, it means your premise is wrong. These are very solid ideas. Okay, so we talked about, to answer your question, belief, convinced, and proof. And proof might work or might not work. Other Rishonim argue very strongly with the Chayvus Halvavus and say the ultimate is belief. Maybe belief based on the Sora. Or maybe Stam belief. You see, we're not learning that. That's like a whole class in itself. These are things to learn in itself. Even the proofs, one day, Lina, we can go through the whole essay of the Tiferes Yisrael and learn all of his proofs. Again, his proof is not that there's an Eibishter in the world. His proof is what we're learning about now, that life is transcendent, there's life after death, there's much more than what you see, the neshama remains. I don't know if he talks about the guf remaining. He just says what you see is nothing. It's a joke. But ironically, not only does it, again, if you think like that, then nothing matters. That's why it's the first thing on the list. Nothing matters. Yeah, Eibishter, not Eibishter. Doesn't matter. If it's all over, if there's a black hole at the end of, when you're in the cemetery, there's just a black hole there. There's no avelus. You have to understand what he's saying. And the truth is, most people, I think, we're lucky. You know, we have to walk out here and say, Ashreinu matov chelkeinu manom goraleinu. Most people just, you know, they don't think about it. I'm not, you know, man, Jews, I'm talking about going in the world. It's like, why should they mourn? And like, you want a legacy. Well, it's really not, it's just, maybe it's that spark of neshama that wants, that tells people to leave a legacy. Don't you want to leave a legacy? You want to leave over something? You want to accomplish something in life that will remain after you? And it should be like a legacy. Like, why? If I would ask you, you would mock the idea of life after death. So you're doing, non-Jew. You would mock. So then, so I'm mocking you. What do you mean a legacy? It's all over. It's nothing but a black hole. So what's the difference? What's the difference? He may say, I don't want my life to be meaningless. So I want to accomplish something, or else it's meaningless. I say, yeah, but it's meaningless anyway, because what's the difference? Because nothing matters. It's probably the spark of the neshama, like screaming, that don't deny me my immortality. You know, don't deny me that. So I think it's like that hergish, that I am immortal, and I want to have something that's going to last after my guf, because there is something there after the guf dies. So I want to be part of that. Right, the most estranged Jew, I don't know, so much experience, but everybody will say Kaddish. They don't know what it is, but they'll mourn, they'll say Kaddish. Even though, again, if you came to them with rational thought, they would have to admit that they subscribe to this first point. That there's no, once you say there's no life after death, there really is an import of that. It's certainly all encompassing. It takes in everything you would want to do. You know, it's funny. It's like we always say, you know, we should remember our mortality. We should be aware of our mortality because we have to do tshuva. But the truth is, what the Chayyim Lavavus is saying here is that we have to make sure that we're aware of our immortality. That's what he's saying. It's not, we have to be constantly aware that what we do is immortal, and we're shaping and forming our neshamas, and we're shaping and forming the cosmos, and it matters, and we're making a difference in the larger. By Rus, the Malbim says, so she's like, tell Chiele, like the high point, like, if this is a movie, this is like, well, maybe not, maybe by Boaz, but this is the most stirring speech, one of the most stirring speeches in Tanakh, Ki Asher Telchi Eled, Asher Lini Olin, you know, that whole speech. And then it says, Ki Amodas Yafrid Beiniyu Veinech. So Poshut, right, because death, only death will separate us. So the simple pshat is that it's, she's continuing to talk. I will be with you, I'll stick with you, etc., 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 all those things she said. And only death will till death do us part. That's where it comes from. But the Malbim has a fascinating pshat. He says, you know what she was saying? She was saying that if I go away from you, if I do go away from you, if you send me away and I go away from you, then hamodes yafrid beiniyu beinech. Then we're going to be separated forever. Because your neshama is going to go where it's supposed to go. And I'm going to be in a different place. And you think that's a preda if you send me away? Ki hamodes yafrid beiniyu beinech. In this world, El Asher Telchi Eilech, I want to stick with you. And there's really a much larger issue at stake, says the Malbim. It's not a question of being with you, or sticking with you, or sleeping with you, or hanging around you, and Amech, Ami, Elokeich, Elokoi. It's much more, it's bigger than all of that. Ki hamovis yafrid b'niyu v'neich. If I go away from you, then that's the real separation. Because your neshama is going to stay, and mine won't. And there's no greater separation than that. And that's how the Malbim understands those words. Beautiful pshat in those words. Ki hamovis yafrid b'niyu v'neich. The mothers will really separate us. You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait, so please let me stay with you, and if I stay with you, the mothers will not separate from us, because our neshamas will be together, we'll be bound. Right, all the neshamas of Yisrael are one neshama, and they're all bound up. Nefesh Adoni Tzurah B'Tzur HaChayim. That's one of the proofs, obviously, that possibly by David HaMelech, that the Tzur HaChayim, that the nefesh is Tzurah in. So then we won't be separated. And again, you know, it helps us cope with troubles. We all experience it, or we certainly know people that have. Sometimes you cringe, and you can't understand it. How does a Jew cope? A Jew's mind. So there's different coping mechanisms, because you can cope that Hashem knows what He's doing, which is also a way of coping. But that's not what we're talking about here, and that would have no shaykhus to what we're talking about here, that Hashem knows what He's doing, and kelamun ve'ein ovel, and ani mamin, that there's a borei olam who's manning the world, which is going to become very relevant in the next few paragraphs. But even this is just the hergish that there's something after death, and this is probably a purification process, right? Obviously, if you don't believe in the borei olam, so you're not going to be able to believe this. But this inyan that the nefesh is going to remain, and therefore what it's undergoing now and what the person's undergoing now is not the end of the story. It's not. So it might be good. It might be, kaporos averus. It might be just a purification thing. But it's something for beyond. It's taking you into the hereafter. That's how a Jew has to think. And whether it's, if the person's ill, and sometimes it's so painful, and the goyim now are so pushing quality of life, and because if all there is life, the way we see it, Sataki, why should he suffer? He's going to die for sure anyway. So unplug it now. What do you see? You gain another few seconds in this world of suffering and this. There was an article, I'm no fan of Ami magazine. I'm no fan of many magazines. Although I sent out an email today about Mishpacha magazine, which starts off with a story with Rabbi Spira. Like a shout out. I felt so happy. I sent him an email. He didn't know anything about it. He was just interviewed a few months ago. And he talked, but this is his pet peeve. Like if he has, he's so stark about this. And now they wrote, I want to do something with this article because it's very powerful and a lot of people are going to read it. It's the scandal of caterers, especially in Eretz Yisrael. It's much worse than in America, where the affair is not catered. The food is catered, has a hechsher, but then you don't know what goes on. Okay, read the Mishpacha magazine. Read this week's Mishpacha. I'm getting Rishus, I'm getting a PDF, I'm going to send it to the shul, the whole article. You don't have to buy Mishpacha magazine if you don't want to. But Ami is even worse. Chas v'shalom. Again, I'm saying my opinion. Maybe it's Lashon Hara. I don't like Ami. Don't listen to my opinion. There's a magazine called Ami. But they had a very important article a few weeks ago by a Dr. Hirschout, a big cancer doctor. And he wrote what goes on in hospitals, and it's frightening. But this is like a very hush of a doctor, and he takes you into the whole hospice scandal and what they do and what they talk you into and how they make you crazy, and the push in the whole medical field now is empty the bed, get you out of there. It's costing too much money. Get rid of you, and he. You have to read it, and then there's a follow-up the next week and the next week, and with letters and stories. It's a very important reading, because you have to just have with Beryl's mother. It's terrible what goes on, what they you have to withstand a lot of pressure, and you have to have a rub that knows. So what's my point is, you know, if you have this first thing, you go, taka, forget it. You don't have to start with the Issa Ritzicha. You say that all there is this. This is the whole existence. So what's a few more days of vegetative state suffering? But we believe in a transcendent neshama. And first of all, we believe in a borei olam, and we believe it's also to kill, and nothing else matters. But above all, I don't know above all, but I think it's a very important part of that is also that we don't know what's happening, right? So it's like diapering a baby. Although this is Moshul in the third parak, in the second parak of Shara Bitachon, we're kicking and squirming and screaming and crying and it hurts and we don't know what's going on. And meanwhile, the mother's diapering the baby, cleaning it off. And that's life, says the Chayvus Halvavus. Hashem's diapering us. And you could laugh, but that's what he says. Life is one big diaper. That's what he says. And that's, he said it's a pasuk in Tehillim. Nafshi ka gomul alei imo ka gomul alei nafshi. Gomul is diapering. And just like you look at a baby and the baby is screaming when you're diapering it. And then it reaches a point where it's soothed and warm and feels clean. And you take it and it's, and eventually it calms down and you cleaned it off, right? And that's what happens to the neshama. That's what the Chavis Halvavus says. That's what Yisurin are. He says in Shara Bitacha. That's what Yisurin are, is Hashem's diapering us. And we're kicking and screaming and crying. And we don't understand what's happening. And it hurts. It hurts. Don't be denying that it hurts. But Hashem's diapering us. And so that's a belief in Hashem. And that Hashem's a mativ. I'm talking here about... Here, the Chavis Halvavus is not even going there yet. Like, that's... A whole here. I'm just saying. With this, we didn't learn anything today. I'm sorry. With this, the Chavis Halvavus is saying, it's not just this right? So there's a neshama afterwards. So that then there's like obviously a cleansing process, right? That's what I see. There's more here. It's not just it's not just now. It's not just this life. There's so much more going on. That itself is a nechama. That itself helps. I don't know if it's a nechama. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. It certainly helps you cope. And of course, more powerful is that there's a borei olam that's running the world, and he's mativ. And that's what we're going to be learning in the next six paragraphs: is that there's a borei olam, and there's a maniga olam, and that he does tov, etc., etc. These are all what the Yetzer Hara tries to get you to deny. But this was first and foremost that there's. Echol ushto, as he quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya, Echol ushto ki mochar namus. I don't know who put in the phrase and make merry. Someone snuck in the phrase, right? It's eat, drink, because tomorrow we die. Someone threw in the phrase and make merry. I don't know who.